Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and we've got a special new format episode. Right, Ken?
We are throwing curveballs, fastballs, sliders, changeups. We're throwing everything at y'all on the fly here with a format change indeed, Joseph, that we talked about before. It's nothing dramatically changes. It's just perhaps the length and the size of our servings that we give you at dinner.
I love the term, the length of your serving. It makes me think of getting just a beautifully long burrito somewhere. I would like your long burrito. That would be delicious.
Sorry. You think there's a restaurant in my hometown called Ventana Grill. I don't even know if it's still open. And every time I'd go there, my parents, I'd visit, I'd have a burrito. And one time a waiter came up to me and said, "I've never seen anyone finish that before, sir." Great accomplishment in my moment. So anyways, Four Center is like a long burrito.
Yeah. You deserve a song or something or a special cup. You should be rewarded when you eat a little bit too much at a restaurant. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're going to cut the old Four Center burrito in half. It's something we've been talking about for a while, and now just seems like the right time for a couple different reasons. So as longtime listeners of Four Center know, the power of the show has grown and grown and grown until it's pretty regular that the show is 2 hours. And time-wise, if you really break it down, we spend about an hour on catching up with our lives, talking about burritos, then talking Star Wars news and listener questions. And then we spend about another hour doing a deep dive on a Star Wars topic. So what we've decided to experiment for now, and if it doesn't work, we can always go back, is we're going to do the news and the listener questions and the life catch up is one episode. And then we're going to do a separate deep dive episode every week.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different reasons that we talked about this before, going through kind of this lockdown pandemic situation, a lot of podcast listener habits changed. So though our core audience, we always have that joke, and a lot of you in our Discord are like, yay, 3-hour episodes. We know that's you. We know that's a lot of you. But, you know, as habits change and maybe don't get back to normal, you know, maybe some viewer and listener, you know, even your streaming shows, it might change how we take in a lot of this media. We want to get ahead of it, and maybe smaller episodes, Joseph, will attract newer ears who are looking at 2.5 hours on R2-D2's rockets and Attack of the Clones. I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah, which is totally understandable. And I sometimes fear that, like, we have, like, a fully detailed, juicy discussion of R2's rockets in Attack of the Clones for, like, you know, 1 hour and 2 minutes. But it takes us 45 minutes to get there. And sometimes I wonder, for new listeners, if that can be off-putting. And again, like you said, just a huge thank you to our core listener base who has been with us for a long time now. And, you know, we were never trying to drive you away, but if we were, we could not do a long enough burrito of an episode to shake our core audience. So we really appreciate that. And I also just want to really underline, nothing is going to change about what we cover or the amount of time we spend talking about it. I think we will just feel even more relaxed to go, hey, if we break the hour mark on R2's rockets, it's okay. We'll keep talking for a little while. And same thing with the news. If the audience listener questions are juicy, we'll feel a little bit more relaxed about spending a little bit of time on it. So nothing's going to change for regular fans. It'll just be separated into two episodes.
In terms of programming schedule, the news kind of based and question based show will be on Tuesdays, the juicier topics right now on Thursdays. And then what we're looking at is the other shows that we know you're there for, Star Wars Rank, Data Bank Brawl, when we're ready to bring that back. Some of the other bonus shows will live on Sundays, though that also does not mean additional shows will not show up, you know, a special Star Wars counseling on a Friday or stuff like that. We also got a couple more weeks of the Mandalorian report, and that stays on Monday afternoons. And that just kind of spaces it out. And the other thing, Joseph, too, that and I want to be very clear about this. This isn't a solid concrete promise, but as Jennifer Landa gets ready to start coming back more to Force Center, there's still going to be scheduling challenges, still going to be things with two young Padawans in her life. Coming back to talk for 4 hours about Kylo's hair is not any easier. So this is going to help maybe hopefully be allow Jennifer down the line to, when she's ready, to work her way back into the show at a more reasonable time and chunk of life.
Yes. And I know I feel that for myself, that Jennifer is busy, and I feel much better about saying, Jennifer, do you want to join us to talk about the news and some audience questions, rather than, Jennifer, here's a list of essay questions I've written about Han winking at Leia. For those 2 seconds, we're going to talk 3 hours. There's a part of me that feels like, you know, easier to say, Jennifer, join us for the news and the questions.
Yeah, because we know, like you, we're all like you. We miss her voice, and we want her perspective and opinions here. And she absolutely wants to come back. But that's just also the reality of the situation. It is a time thing. She's got those pressures, those wonderful pressures, and we're here to support her on that. So, again, not a concrete promise. We're just saying, hey, that's another reason that factored into this change. And I think, Joseph, we have done our over apologetic explain choice we've made, but I think everyone understands.
Let me reiterate that I agree with you. Yes. And let's move on.
Let's move on. Indeed, we are going to dive into some news, some topics, some great questions for y'all. But as always, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we'll have our Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Star Wars Life Adventures, still Still a tough time, we understand, Joseph, but how's everything going for you and things you experienced?
Yeah. I'm trying to, roll forward on life. Obviously, still doing podcasts, still doing my Obsessed podcast, still working on some writing, still studying for, this eventual Star Wars Schmodown trivia contest that I'm going to partake in, as well as you. But I'm also just giving myself plenty of time to just listen and absorb and cope and all those kind of things. So that's my life adventure, is listening and coping. Star Wars wise, I've been having a ton of fun. Been studying for the trivia contest, partially just by my wife and I have been watching pretty much nothing but Star Wars movies, and kind of in random order. And so different things are popping out to me and connecting to me. And one just kind of Star Wars, appreciation moment that I had this week is watching the sequel trilogy movies. They're so explicit about the characters being myths, with, Rey literally saying that about Luke, and the way Rey and Finn react to Han Solo. And that's kind of one of the central themes of Last Jedi, is Luke doesn't want to be a myth. He wants to be, or the Jedi wants them to be judged for what they are. And I was watching Rise of Skywalker again, taking that idea forward and going, well, what does this movie say about that? And I was just really affected by the interaction between Poe and Lando, where Poe is still kind of mythologizing Leia up to a point of saying, I don't know how I'm going to live up to you and do what you did. And Lando kind of comes in here and just says, like, well, you know what? No one's ever ready. We did it because we had to, and we relied on one another. And to me, it was this kind of, it's this beautiful picture of there is value in the inspiration that we get from myth, and people do become larger than life, and that's okay. But then we also have to strip that away and just realize that every moment in Star Wars, every moment in the real world where somebody has stood up and did something brave and surprising and frightening, they haven't been fully ready, and they're, flesh and blood, or in Star Wars, maybe a droid. And they've had to make that decision, and maybe it takes on the weight of myth. But in the moment, we're all just the same, trying to do our best. And that really landed with me in terms of analyzing the sequel trilogy and in looking at where we're at in the real world, where we're having to make some hard decisions about how to be and scary things to do now. It's easy to look back on the past and just mythologize it, and instead recognize that everything that ever happened, it was a person who made that scary choice.
That's great. That's I love that scene. I've talked about that a lot, but that's not something I specifically pulled out of yet. And I love that these scenes, you can go back and more layers can kind of unfurl from these little moments.
Yeah. And their various relations to one another. But that's my Star Wars inside my own head adventure. What kind of real life adventures or in your own head adventures did you have?
The real life, we understand, it's a lot going on, a lot of pain, suffering, change, moving forward, figuring out what that really means. And that's still very close to Joseph and I here and Jennifer too with Force Center. But there's little moments of, you just got to take a breath. I think that's important. And I, in preparation for the Star Wars ranked episode I did last week on Infus Nest, which is me talking about the five things I think she brings to the Star Wars story. And I got to sit down and watch Solo, a Star Wars Story on Netflix, which, by the way, was a little weird because Disney Plus instinctively first was like, oh yeah, no. That's no. And I even posted in the Discord. I was doing the thing with, like, all right, let me just, I'll watch the Infus Nest parts, I'm making my lunch. Let me just start the movie. And there you go. I'm off and running. And I love that movie. Hot damn, I love that movie. I just really do. I really enjoy it. I know a lot of you do. Some of you listening don't. And this isn't about right or wrong or what side of Solo are you on. It's just, for me as a fan, I just sat down and it picks me up and it takes me through. And I love so much about it. And obviously, I love the character of Infus Nest and what she represents. But I just love watching all the little moments and the heartbreaking moments with Kira as Han finding himself and thinking he knows who he is. All those kind of wonderful things. And Lando, how it's shot, the stuff on Vandor. I just love the Bradford Young's cinematography and the choices made there. All the things. I just was like, man, I really do love this movie. And I know Make Solo 2 is on everyone's mind a lot, and as it should be. But, like, you know, like, I'm happy that we got this, and I'm happy to just go back and enjoy that movie when I can. And it was fun to watch, and it's fun to experience again.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, my wife and I watched it. I think time is meaningless to me at this point. I think it was a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. We watched it on a Saturday morning. You know, we got up and had some breakfast, and it really did just, I haven't watched it all the way through in a long time, and it does just, it grabs you and it pulls you through, and you're enjoying the adventure. And then especially some of the stuff around Enfys Nest and Kira just, it hits me emotionally like a ton of bricks. And I'm so thankful that movie exists.
Oh, man, absolutely. And the man, the score, I could stop. All right, I got to stop. So that's kind of what's going on. I did also, you know what? I did the thing. I finally did it, Joseph. I finally got the Scarif on Battlefront 2.
Oh, good, good. Who were you when you were on Scarif?
I was the Rebels. I was the Rebels because I couldn't remember in that moment. It was like, what mode and then what classification on the mode? And I was like, well, it's got to be the Rebellion era, but I'm going to choose the Rebels because I'm sure they go to Scarif at some point, right? and I did the rotation. I was ready to turn it off. I played like four games, and it does that thing where it's loading up, finding match, Scarif. And I was like, yay! And I got to experience it and run around the beach, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's so great. It's so great. You're still playing a heavy, right?
I've been moving around. My heavy is far. I know you can go up to like what, 1,000, or it's unlimited on your levels. I'm like in coming up on maybe 180 or something like that.
Okay.
And everything else, the assault's the next class at like 89. So I've been trying hard, and plus, you know, what is it, Infiltrators, the Ewok? That's definitely on the rise. Everybody. But I've been trying to move it around, you know, like don't get locked into one lane. That's a good lesson for Battlefront 2 and life. Kind of move it around. So even trying to get my officer class up, and that's kind of fun. Goals are good.
Yeah, yeah. I might make some time for Battlefront one of these days soon. I need to go back to Scarif.
Well, there's no trivia questions about it yet, so I understand.
Fair enough.
With life adventures caught up and on the table, we're going to go to news. We're going to the news, and the headline reads, Jedi Temple Challenge Moved. And this also includes another Force Center update. So last week on the show, again, we thank you all for listening to our Star Wars in the Real World episode. But we also were excited for the Jedi Temple Challenge, which was going to be airing on June 3rd. We moved that episode to June 3rd, our own episode. And then understandably, they moved Jedi Temple Challenge. And so the 10 episode series will begin June 10th. If everything goes according to plan, that's tomorrow on StarWarsKids.com and Star Wars Kids YouTube, of course. Ahmed Best, man, we love this guy. And his statement on the move was this on his Instagram page. Said, I'm so pumped to share a Jedi Temple challenge with everyone. The fan response at Celebration last year was the beginning of my return to the galaxy I love so much. Kelleran Beck, the Sabered Hand, as he said here. I know in the other one last week, side note, was said Bladed Hand, but he said Sabered Hand here. It's the first Black number one lead of anything Star Wars, and that is so very important to me. I'm also a producer of the show, and that makes me doubly excited to bring this thing to you. But as a Black man, a Black father, a Black producer, and Black artist, I have to consider all that is happening in the world right now. Our team has decided to push the premiere of Jedi Temple Challenge until next Wednesday, June 10th. Hopefully, we can be in a better headspace next week to enjoy this game show. I've been a part of this family for 20 years, and I've felt your support. The excitement behind Kelleran Beck has me bursting with ideas of lore and backstory, and I can't wait to share all of that with you. Star Wars fans, I appreciate us. So, Joseph, that's a pretty wonderful, thoughtful, eloquent, and powerful statement, and also just makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, pushing it back, it totally makes sense, and I agree with that, and I'm glad that it's going to be available to more people on StarWarsKids.com and the YouTube channel and all that, and I just like the power of Ahmed Best's statement. Is we've talked a lot about him coming back from the unfair reception that he got as an actor to Jar Jar Binks. To not only, hey, it's cool that he's going to be in Jedi Temple Challenge, but they really laying out in these statements of, yeah, I'm not just coming back. I am the principal. I am the producer. I am the first Black number one lead of anything Star Wars. Is not just dipping my toe back into Star Wars. It's really taking ownership, which I think is important and cool.
Oh, yeah. And it looked like I love that the lore and the backstory, and he's in his explanation that we covered last week of the character was just awesome and inspired wonderful headcanon in all of us. There was that one picture that was out that might have been, oh my gosh, it might have been related to this Instagram post, or maybe it was the one before. I apologize. I don't know. But it was just, it was Kelly Ren Beck sitting there, robes and all, like on the set and the shot. I screenshotted it. But if I posted that online and I was like a Star Wars news site or something, and I said, hey, coming to Disney Plus, Kelly Ren Beck, and here's a shot from this show, you'd be like, oh yeah, that works. That app, I wouldn't question it 1 second. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think from, I follow Ahmed Best on Twitter and see him engaging with fans. I think there is rightfully so much excitement over some of the lore that Ahmed Best has posted about Kelly Ren Beck. I think we should all brace ourselves, and I'm talking mostly to myself. This is me talking to me, that this is still going to be a great show where kids are competing and learning the valuable lessons of Star Wars and the Jedi. And I think I don't think the show is going to have a ton of lore. I don't think the show is going to have clarity on when it is occurring. And I think some of that stuff is just going to be there in the margins in terms of having that good attitude that we try to have of going in with our heads screwed on straight with the right expectations.
That's a good way to look at it. That's our next sticker, Force Center, heads screwed on straight. Question mark. And in that spirit, Joseph, we're kind of, you know, happy to announce this too. Force Center will be covering Jedi Temple Challenge within our main show. Now, Joseph and I threw ourselves a wrench by which one of the main shows looks like this one, which means we'll cover the episode the week prior and get you set up for the week forthcoming, the episode forthcoming on the next Wednesday, is how we might work, but allow us the room to discuss that off air. But we're going to have fun, Joseph, covering the results, the competitors, and like I said, the lessons learned. And it's not going to, we're not doing a whole hour breakdown. Knowing us, we probably could, but just a little segment because we're excited for the show. We're excited for Represents, and quite frankly, bummed I can't be on it, but you know, at least not yet. They do the clumsy adult edition special.
Oh yeah, no, I think definitely the are you having a Jedi midlife crisis? Kelly Ren Beck's Jedi midlife challenge, I think, is something I would absolutely audition for.
Yeah, so look for that coming soon here to Force Center. Let's go to the next story here, and we're going to roll around in some rumors. That's right. A lot of rumors. Sometimes we do that, sometimes we don't. A lot of times when we at Force Center decide to, all right, let's run with a rumor story, is we see it pop up a lot, or we see all weird roads, some roads completely fake, but all roads pointing to one story. So more than anything, we want to look at it. Then also it starts to inspire questions and headcanon, and that we still maintain is pretty fun, though we don't like to get lost in the rumor report. So this rumor is Thrawn to live action. And this is, again, so unconfirmed, it feels like a daydream, but these stories keep popping up. And last week or so, there was rumors of a casting call for live action Ezra Bridger. And so now this story is more of a casting call for a live action Thrawn. Now, doesn't mean I'm going to audition or you, Joseph, but we could. I think I'm pretty sure they might have some people in mind if they're doing it, but that's another conversation. So just, you know, let's start there. What do you think about these rumors?
Man, they all do feel very rumor-like to me. And because a couple of them have a high likelihood of being not rumors, like Ahsoka Tano and Bo-Katan, that I think it invites some of these other rumors to fly around. But it also kind of invites them to feel a little bit more possible because they are all concentrated around the same kind of grouping of characters in the same era of unresolved storytelling.
Yeah. And that's one of the things you keep coming back to, and, you know, they're working on other shows, animated and maybe more game shows, movie, that all the stuff's being developed. So some of these casting calls are probably very legitimate, and these ones could be it. Not doubting that at all. But they keep popping up, and they keep popping up, and that has happened before. Rumor, 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 boom, it becomes true. or it was true. You never know. Things change. Now, Joseph, the fandom is generally, they generally wanted to know what happens with Thrawn, Ezra and the Whales, which is a great band. Where do we stand on that right now? That story, animated, live action or not, whatever it is, that story. The question is, and this is for old MASH fans, do we want after Rebels?
I think that it should not be called After Rebels. And I don't think, I know that there's been, you know, reporting and rumors of there's going to be a sequel to Rebels. Like, okay, fair enough, because they set up the spinoff for sure, right? That was definitely the end of that that final episode of Rebels was like if the final episode of Cheers was Frasier going, I think I'll move to Seattle and start a radio show. I wonder how that'll work out. Bye. I mean, definitely, totally teeing it up. But it also seems to me like just in terms of what's at stake for the storytelling, it is some of the same characters, but it's, you know, a different time, different era. So I feel like different ideas would be at stake. But I feel like Ahsoka and Sabine search for Ezra, who is somehow tangled up with Thrawn and the Purgles in Purgatory, which we assume to be unknown regions, which therefore almost automatically says we're going to have some First Order storytelling, at least to me. I want that so, so bad because it feels so unresolved. It involves major characters that we like. So I kind of still lean towards that's an animated series that's being set up. But I'd be fine with it if it's live action. I just really want that specific story, the search for Ezra, resolved.
Yeah, same here. I don't even say that I lean to animated. It just seems like to me would make sense to continue it animated, but live action is interesting. And with, you know, again, a lot of rumors around Mandalorian season two, you know, a lot of them. And I'm at this point, when I say rumor, I'm, you know, probably confirm stuff, but we don't know. We don't know until we're actually watching on our couch. Hearing you describe what we believe this show would be about, if they were to do it on any kind of format, it's interesting to think, because this would be, we always talk about Star Wars going to new places. Yeah, we know about the unknown regions. Yeah, we've seen it. Even Ahch-To is technically in the unknown regions, right? Like, this would be pretty new Star Wars. This would be not even the spaceships, you know. It would be all new kind of stuff in theory.
Yeah, in theory, in modern canon, the only thing that's really touched on it is a lot of the ideas and images and in various species that have been introduced in the newer Thrawn trilogy, you know, and we got another one coming out. So there's that wrinkle too of like how much is are Zahn's novels going to impact, you know, or who knows, maybe we're all just wrong with the assumption that Purgatory is the unknown regions. Maybe it's a whole different idea. We never know, but I think for me, the thing that I'm really excited about, I'm always happy for more Thrawn. I love Sabine. I want all those characters to be explored. I love Ahsoka. I love Ezra. I've talked about this before. Being introduced to both of them, the question of where are they during this next important time where a Jedi should be standing up, even though Ahsoka's not technically a Jedi, a light-sided force wielder should be standing up and joining the cause. With Ahsoka, you know, anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I would love to see their stories resolved, which I'm not like in camp, like I need to see them die or anything. I'm happy if they go off into some sort of Mortis-like world, but I don't want to be wrestling always with the question of, you know, why aren't they showing up to stop the First Order when Leia's desperately searching for Luke and Snoke/Palpatine is so insistent that if we kill Luke, that's it. We're good. There will be no more Jedi. There's always that balance because you want to respect how powerful Ahsoka is and how much Ezra is never going to give up the fight. So I kind of want their characters, their stories to resolve in a way that doesn't make you constantly ask, why aren't they there in the sequel trilogy? And then leave plenty of room to tell stories with them. Because as we know from Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Darth Maul, you can kill him the first time you meet him as long as you leave plenty of room to tell other stories.
Yeah, as long as you leave enough of the torso, you could still tell more stories. I'm right there with you. Yeah, a lot of stuff. Yeah, again, we assume unknown regions. We assume because of you know, the Chiss ascendancy and everything that'd be the spot. But I don't know if the Purgles are like, oh, cool, we got Thrawn. Let's take him home. So, you know, you're right to remind us it could be anywhere. It could be any dimension. It could be any time. Star Wars, we don't know. We'll figure that out. If and when we get the story, I think we all definitely want it. We'll see how this shakes out, and we'll update you here on Force Center. Final news story of the day. John Boyega made a very passionate speech at London's Hyde Park Justice for George Floyd Black Lives Matter event, protest and rally, and it inspired many. It garnered worldwide attention and which I feel is important too. Got full support from Lucasfilm and StarWars.com, which had a link to this speech. So a lot of thoughts about this, Joseph. More Star Wars in the real world. How did you react to from his speech?
Reacting to it, trying to take a step back from the Star Wars of it, which you only can up to a point because it's partially news that mm-hmm. John Boyega is saying this because, yes, he's been in other things. Absolutely. Attack the Block is great. Haven't seen that Pacific Rim sequel, but I'm sure it's great. But his level of fame is from Star Wars. So that's part of the reason that our eyes are on this, which I've seen people tweeting of like, this is another reason that representation in movies and TV shows matter, because it does elevate people's voices in the real world if they're a part of a really famous property like Star Wars. But trying to just take a step back from some of that, just me human watching John Boyega human and just like we are seeing from so many people, the pain, mm-hmm. the determination, the clear asking to just be heard and believed about your life experience and what needs to change. And I thought that he said so much of that with such power, such determination, but such honesty and pain that it was really moving and really made me want to continue to do my best to just listen.
Yeah. I think we're in the same ballpark there, and just the raw emotion, but the pain. And as things start moving forward and conversations turn to, you know, what do you do going forward and policy changes and, politicians say, get in here, here's the direction we're going to go. A lot of those conversations, all of them obviously are part of this process in the next step, right? I don't want to ever get bogged down in that, as that has to happen, but also you want to be able to go back to the actual feelings. And if you watch this and can't react to just the, as you said, the humanness of it, the tears, the rage, the determination, and the well-spoken words amongst it all, you know,
mm-hmm.
That's where I would, you know, that's, I hope everyone gets that out of it. The humanness of it and the pain is important. And, that's why I'm thankful that it was there. And then you're right that Star Wars helped to give him this. If it would have gotten some coverage. Yeah. But if he's a guy from Attack the Block, it only goes so far, right? Or it becomes part of everything. But this became a thing because of Star Wars. And that absolutely speaks to what you're talking about, Joseph, about important to have a lot of different voices, perspective, experiences, and people in the room and on the films. That's why that stuff matters. And we're behind it here at Force Center.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did like, and I think it's important that, you know, he advocates in that speech amongst all that passion for peaceful protests and for not going away, not going back to the norm. And I think for me, that's such an important part in this conversation, because with many things that I think are difficult, wrong, people are hurting that happen in society, we go through waves of outrage and then we just quickly go back to normal. And I think that he was advocating, we can't just go back to normal. And again, to me, that ties to ideas in Star Wars, when people are talking about, you know, we need to deal with the issue in front of us. We can't ignore it anymore. And that was powerful to me.
Yeah. Another powerful thing to come out of it is, you know, he says, I don't think he says in it the you know, I don't know if I'll ever, you know, work again type of sentiment, which is not just some random pull. That kind of stuff happens. I think a lot of the Me Too movement stuff kind of related to Weinstein. You see that time and time again. You say something or you try, you're done. So I don't, he wasn't just saying that. That's, there's enough belief to be like, hey, this could be a problem for me, right? But I don't care. I love seeing a lot of the people saying, don't worry, we got you.
Yes, the sheer amount of people who are like, we would like to hire you right now, John Boyega. Yeah,
Jordan Peele, a lot of the big names. Like, hell, like, you know, ForCenter almost tweeted, we'll share our Patreon with you. Don't worry. Like, there's a lot there. And that was good. And which ties into what I'm, this thing here, like Lucasfilm came out. This is where we stand on this pretty clearly. I wanted to ask you, Joseph, general thoughts on that. I don't want to directly one-to-one compare it or anything like that. But like with the Kelly Marie Tran stuff or a lot of stuff during the Last Jedi stuff, you could argue some companies don't do a great job protecting the talent once they're out there. So what did that mean to you that Lucasfilm was like, boom, here we go. Not up. Here's the post. Here's the words. And here's what we mean. Not even a lot of words in the post. We're being direct. We stand by him in this.
Yeah, I thought it was really good because we are in this time that I think is difficult for companies to navigate, and I think is difficult for individuals to navigate, where it can feel sort of like you're just rubber stamping something. And you know, and Disney did that with their, they released the same Black Lives Matter statement for like all of their different divisions, right? Star Wars and Marvel said the same thing, and I don't know if the Muppets did, but it can feel just like, oh, that's kind of this generic statement. And the fact that, okay, John Boyega, who just portrayed for us a resistance leader, is making this statement, advocating for peaceful protests. So I don't want to confuse anybody what I'm saying here, mm-hmm. but standing up and saying, I, at the risk of my career, I can no longer stay silent. I have to stand up and be counted and lead people by doing that, which you can obviously draw direct comparisons to his journey as Finn. So much of his journey in the movies as Finn is deciding, yeah, I'm not going to go, yeah, both sides are bad, like DJ wants me to. I'm going to look for myself and decide what is right, and then I'm going to stand up for that. And again, I'm not making a direct comparison because in real life, John Boyega is talking about peaceful protest. And I think it is not just heartening to me for Lucasfilm to go, yes, we agree with that. It's necessary. And I'm so glad they did. For me as a fan, it's necessary, especially when he is speaking out loud and saying, I think I might lose my career for this. Right. When Star Wars has a message of stand up for what you believe in, try to make a change when you feel there is injustice. It was really vital to me that they supported him in this particular instance.
Yeah. And to clarify, if even needed, but when I bring in Kelly Marie Tran and the Rose Tico stuff and everything, I'm not even saying that Lucasfilm or Star Wars or Disney didn't support, because I don't remember exactly what was tweeted out, everything, but just like you said, it's a weird balance sometimes of we do something, we have actors, they're out in the world, and suddenly they're getting attacked, and how far is our role in that? You know, it's a weird thing sometimes, and we're all learning, it's all changed. You know, now you might have a toilet paper company tweeting out a message of social justice, and like, what does that mean? Like you said, what is it, a rubber stamp, or what's real, what's not? All great questions. I'm not saying it's, like I said, not one-to-one comparison. It just was, for me, it was nice to be like, all right, this is very clear, and it was very quick.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, and as always, we know we have lots of different listeners, and we kind of walked this tightrope last week with our real-world episode, but I think for me, part of this is, I want to talk about Star Wars, but to me, the spirit of Star Wars is when you see something that you think is wrong, you have a moral obligation to find a way to speak out against it and make a difference. And I feel like for me, that's what John Boyega was doing. And it, it, it made me happy to be a Star Wars fan that the company backed him on fulfilling to me some of the messages of Star Wars.
There you go. I love it. Right there with you on it. Good to see. And yeah, I don't think we'll see Boyega as Finn in Star Wars anytime soon, but I'm all for it even more now.
Right. Yeah.
Come on back. All right. That is our look at the news. There's some other things. There's always little tidbits here and there. And as always, when we release the episode, that's when they'll announce the new movies. But bear with us. We appreciate letting us cover what we have right now. Before we take a quick break, Joseph, we're going to have our Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us.
That's right. I picked out Rebel Rising by Beth Revis. I really love that book. I was talking with my wife about it after we rewatched Rogue One. And I think it's a great book right now because it is about Jyn Erso living in a time of, you know, crisis and change and trying to find her way through it. Again, not making any direct one-to-one comparisons, as you said, Ken, but definitely somebody who's wrestling with finding her place in a big tumultuous time.
Such a great book. You all should check it out if you haven't had a chance, and do so by downloading your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/forcecenter for your free audiobook. All right, we are going to take a break, and on the other side, your questions on this Force Center news and Q&A edition here. Stick around. I got to learn how to transition out of this new version of the show. Don't I, friend? Take a break. See you soon.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, 4Center fans, don't forget 4Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4Center on YouTube. Check it out. Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back here to 4Center. We looked at the news. Now it's time to look at your questions and hopefully answer them to your expectations. We've loved these questions over the years. You guys are so awesome, and I love seeing the return names coming back and rolling up their sleeves and giving us something even more juicy than the questions they asked before. So we're going to dive on in as we always do. Joseph, we're going to go to Twitter first.
Yeah. We got some great Twitter questions. I put out a call a couple weeks ago, and I'm still going through them all because we got so many. So we have two for today. We'll start with Nathan Bates. Nathan says, hey, 4Center crew, what do you think traveling through hyperspace in the Death Star was like? Hurtling through space in a death ball seems like quite the experience. Thanks, and may the Force be with you. All right, Ken. Yeah. Have you ever just sat around on your couch daydreaming about hurtling through space in a death ball?
Not specifically, but I got to tell you, reading Lost Stars made me think about it a little bit. There was this idea that some of the people on stormtroopers, officers, whatever, on the Death Star who just weren't completely aware of what they were doing, did not even know about the destruction of Alderaan. There's a little tiny part of it there. So that did get me thinking of like, well, you're on a planet. I'm not too aware that we're hurtling around the sun. So I imagine the Death Star could be something similar. So that does kind of make sense. You got to imagine if there's a little window, though, you can just kind of gaze out and try to think about your place in the galaxy and maybe make a better choice. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder if they don't have that many windows in the quarters area for people to look out. If they're just like, nope, it's dreary and gray and concentrate on your life. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I can't remember that if it was described what it felt like in Lost Stars, but I just think riding in the Death Star would be disturbingly smooth, right? Like I go back to the first time I was on a plane, and you know, and I was on a relatively small one the first time I was on a plane, and it took off, and I saw the cars in the parking lot turn into Hot Wheel cars, and you could feel the sensation. I was like, this is the most amazing thing ever, and I'm going to do this for like 2 hours now, right? And then you get up to sort of cruising altitude, and you're just like, I have no sensation of movement whatsoever.
It's one of those weird. Even sometimes I'm like, my car is just a chair with wheels. What? I have those weird moments. This question reminds me of, I don't know, it's like we're in Southern California. So sometimes a little earthquake happens and you're like, oh my God. And other times you're like, what? I didn't feel it because you were either standing up, driving, walking. So it is kind of hurtling through space on a death ball, kind of like an earthquake in Burbank.
Everybody tweets about it immediately. That's what you're saying.
It is. It is the ultimate source of earthquake information is social media.
Yeah. So, I think it would be disturbingly smooth, but I love the idea that if any of these Death Stars survived for long, that they would maybe have some faults and they'd get to be like really jittery, like just an old jalopy, just shaking every time they go and spilling everybody's tea. That would be happy making for me.
We need to take in our Death Star for work. This idea too that you put out there that the Death Star is kind of like a casino, that there's no sense of time, you can't really see outside, and we want you just to stay in here and not question why you're in here. That's pretty deep. I actually am on board for that.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that I've seen in the Death Star that makes it makes me think like, yeah, we want to make sure people have a nice life in here. Nothing at all. So that is from Nathan Bates. Great question. Gave us some deep thoughts about death ball travel. We are going to move on to a person that we've gotten some great questions from over the years. Great to get one again. This is from some Moof Milker on Twitter. And some Moof Milker says, now that it's all wrapped up, what is your favorite bit of headcanon from the sequel trilogy? Mine is that DJ really was Maz's master codebreaker, but lost the red plum bloom gambling before he got thrown in the casino jail. He feels more like her kind of scoundrel.
That's great. I like
that. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that particular bit of headcanon and then dive into our own favorite bit of headcanon from the sequel trilogy. How do you think that, in your mind, how does that change The Last Jedi?
It puts a lot more on the Force, maybe Finn's intuition of the Force and the will of the Force trying to find a way. I like that idea on that level. And it does make sense. Because we're going to be talking about the Rey and the cave scene, so I watched Last Jedi again. There's a little bit of that, like, I totally get Maz is describing Justin Theroux, especially with the, he's great at everything, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So I'm like, all right, okay. But also there's nothing about him that, I don't know, that doesn't seem like Maz's kind of guy. I don't know. I don't know Maz, so I can't speak for her and what she's looking for and any kind of partner. I don't know, but I've had that thought before. So I think maybe some Moof Milker's picking up on that same wavelength of like, I don't know, maybe DJ's more the guy. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe he's the poet with a blaster. I can get this because, look at this. This is a weird place to go, but let's just go there. You know, what is Maz's taste in partners? We hear her call Chewbacca her boyfriend, and then it is definitely played for a laugh that she seems pretty into the master code breaker. Right. He's good at everything, as you said. So I can see I'm not calling Chewbacca a scoundrel, but yeah, I can see how maybe she would be more interested in the kind of person who lives on the fringes of life rather than kind of the dapper ne'er-do-well that the master codebreaker seems to be. That said, she makes her philosophy so clear of, you should stand up and get involved when the time is right, analyzing Finn's eyes to be somebody who runs away. She herself obviously comes to the fight when she chooses the right time. I think that maybe she'd pal around with DJ, but I don't think she could ever be totally of the same philosophy of don't join that DJ is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that also could be why, hey, things didn't work out between us. I don't know. But I like that there. Yeah. Again, we're not going to put Maz in any kind of box. Maz, I get it. But yeah.
Yes. Maz will break out of that box, yeah, right?
I guess I just really like the question because I haven't said those exact words to myself, with some Moof Milker's own headcanon, but I get it. I get where it comes from and I respect it.
Yeah. And I agree with what you were saying is there is something there that does invite you to imagine, is this the will of the Force? Is this the person they were supposed to be trying to find the whole time? And was Maz being sneaky in the way she described who right. the true master codebreaker was? Is great headcanon. But Ken, what is your other sequel trilogy headcanon?
I'll tell you, I'm so interested in the full story of Rey Sloane. I still have a thought in my head that it's not directly from the movies, but it's from the era, right? It's just that she is alive. She was defeated in another way and ousted from the First Order, and that she's out there doing something else, and then maybe somewhere, someplace, she was able to kind of establish something or organization more in line with her heart versus what the First Order was part of and what was going to be and what the Empire not turned out to be. But she grew up with a different view of it from some individual, you know, personal experiences on her planet. So I think of that a lot, but I want that story to be told, so I don't send myself too far down the path there. As far as more with the movies, I got to tell you, that final fight in Rise of Skywalker, just especially if you read the novelization, invites just a lot of who's out there doing what. And now that I've completed Resistance, and we know, especially again with the novel, that at least some of the characters are there, I have a whole like episode in my mind of the Aces going around, maybe taking out a Sith destroyer, and having some witty, snappy dialogue. Griff kind of being excited about getting a shot back in. Yeah, I actually have thought about that a few times, especially since I just finally completed season two.
Yeah, man, I would be happy for a Disney Plus one-off Resistance movie that is all of our friends from the Colossus and all the Aces and their adventures on Exegol. That'd be great. I love that. I think for me, too, I like the headcanon that in Lando's speech that he makes to the Core Worlds, that he perhaps invokes Luke Skywalker's standing up on Crait. I think that would be a great direct connection. I had a good conversation with one of our patrons in our Patreon question section the music there is evocative of Luke, often connected to Luke. So there's something there when Lando shows up, which I thought was a great point. So there's that. I would love to hear Lando's speech sometime and love if it involved Luke. The other one is Ochi of Bastoon's blade. The exact sort of exactly how that all works with. Yeah, he was trying to bring find young Rey and bring her back to Palpatine, but he needed to find the Wayfinder with the blade before he could. I like the idea. I have the headcanon that blade, what was written on it, was like a vision that some Sith soothsayer or cultist had, or maybe an Imperial dignitary when they were young, still in purple hats, but very young. They had a vision a long time ago, and nobody knew what this meant until this time.
I like that. With some dark, dark prophecies. I like that. Oh, that's good. Plus a young Janus Gree Jadis fresh out of dignitary school. That'd be great.
Yeah. I want to see Simalu dream. That's what I'm saying. great, great question. Some Moof Milker, both the general idea of a sequel trilogy headcanon and your specific headcanon about DJ being the true master codebreaker. All great stuff. So thank you so much. Ken, I'll turn it over to you for Patreon.
Yeah, we got a great question here from Bob Gerard. Bob Gerard writes, "Hey, do you guys remember the moment when Star Wars really hooked you? For me, it was 10-year-old me sitting in the Eden's Theater in Chicago on June 3rd, 1977 and watching the Star Destroyer keep going and going and going. My life was never the same." Bob, I'm just going to say I am slightly jealous that you got to experience that moment as it happened in pop culture. I love hearing those stories. I was not of age to have any memory of it. And that's pretty cool. So, Joseph, what grabbed you? What grabbed you?
Yeah, I was technically alive and did see A New Hope in the theater. But to be honest, I don't. I have many cloudy memories, you know, around that time because I was so young. But I think the moments where it really crystallized for me in some of the earliest memories I have of you know, in my very young brain going, ooh, I want all things to be like Star Wars, was having the Star Wars storybook. So this was a book that they made one for Empire and Return of the Jedi. It was a very simplified version of the story, but also included, I think, some deleted scenes. But it had giant, giant pictures. And a couple that I really remember staring at was the back of the book was what now looks like very 70s, a photo of Vader, and his lightsaber is a little bit different because it's clearly just kind of, you know, hand painted in. It comes to a really sharp point. He's just kind of standing on an ambiguous kind of cloudy background. It kind of looks like he went and got a Sears portrait all by himself. But I remember just staring at that book in wonder and kind of memorizing every detail of that picture of Vader and, you know, wishing I could read so I could see all the words. And in the front of the book, there was the roll call of all the characters and the pictures of them. And I remember just staring at those and studying those. And I think that all of it for me is all of these ambiguous memories floating around that time. But the storybook in that image of Vader, I think, is probably the earliest one I can hook into.
That's great. And I think we had access to the same book. I would check it out from my school library, and I would remember that's the one that had like Biggs on Tatooine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, hey, wait a minute. What's going on? Did I miss that in the movie? Mom, can we watch the VHS tape again? So that was there. I've talked a lot about the trailer of Return of the Jedi and seeing Luke on the sail barge. And a lot of those moments, those were kind of were the big things that popped in my brain. And Jedi was the first one I really got to see in the theater. I was one in a drive-in for New Hope. So obviously don't remember that, but Jedi was the one. I just remember driving home. Well, I wasn't driving home. I was in the back of my folks' car and looking out a window and just looking at the stars and getting lost in what I just saw in the story. And again, you know, I'm seven. I don't know all the big themes. I'm not picking up on the fact that Luke won by throwing down his blade. I just was like, wow, explosions and droids. What was that space slug thing I saw that Leia was killing? Like what the Ewa? I just couldn't believe what I saw. And so it was the film, but again, similar to what you're saying, it's going home with the experience and taking it with you. And I think that is some of the power of Star Wars, why the toys and the merchandise became so popular and key. It is, you really, really took that world home with you. And I just have that memory more than anything.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's really good to reconnect with that relatively often, because that is so much the power of Star Wars, is just that awe of being in that totally other world. And I think a lot of us super experienced that our very first time with Star Wars. Of just, I don't even know what I just saw, but I want to see it again.
Yeah, Bob, great stuff. Great question. Final one of the day comes from Jonathan Kenneth. Hey, my first name's your last name, Jonathan. Putting aside, does that sound like Homer? Money can be used for goods and services. Putting aside for a moment the personalized sabers you can build in Galaxy's Edge with pre-existing components, if you were able to blue sky visualize your own personal lightsaber hilt, what would it look like? Is it a shorter one-handed hilt or a two-hander, single blade, double-bladed staff, or cross guard? Is there a particular design element, material, or component that you would make uniquely yours in a way Gungi's hilt used wood or Corn Horns used the handle of a speeder bike? As a saber-building hobbyist, my favorite part of the process is incorporating someone's interests and personality into a hilt that's uniquely their own, yet rendered in a way that's distinctly Star Wars. So what would the saber hilt look like on Ken or Joseph or Jennifer's belt? I'm not sure if you ever addressed this before. If so, sorry for the redundant prompt. No apologies needed, Jonathan. Every once in a while, we do get a favorite hilt question. What kind of hilt would you have? Yeah, we've gotten it. But this is a lot of care and just love for the lightsaber building process in your question, Jonathan. So we're happy to answer it here. Joseph, what would you have at your side?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like all the different styles of lightsabers, but I think because I started with the original trilogy, I do lean towards just the classic straightforward hilt. I think even if I could build my own, I think I would want little elements of the characters I love. Like, I think I would like that more saucer-shaped emitter that Obi-Wan Kenobi has and that Luke's second lightsaber has. But then I think I would want the main part of the shaft to be some sort of recycled ivory, some sort of recycled whalebone, and like do that. Some carving on it, since that is my actual namesake, Scrimshaw. the art form of scrimshaw. One who scrimshaws is a scrimshander. And I would want to maybe put something personal on it, but also maybe just a scrimshaw, the Jedi symbol into the handle there. And then at the end, for the pommel, I would want to build in a bottle opener, which is partially a joke. And it's one of the, I have on my keychain this very old bottle opener that my father gave me. And it is both kind of joke, kind of practical, but Star Wars got in so young. When my dad gave that to me, he was like, well, you know, I had this for a long time, and I think, you know, you'll find this handy having this on your key ring, and I want to give it to you. To me, it was just like, you know, it was like getting my father's lightsaber. And it's on my key ring, and I can't tell you how many places I've been where there's drinks happening, alcoholic, non-alcoholic, and nobody has a bottle opener. And suddenly I become the life of the party because I'm guy with bottle opener. So it's both a practical joke, and it means a lot to me. I would want to have a bottle opener on the bottom of my lightsaber.
This is great. I can imagine little Anakin going, "You're a Jedi. I see your laser sword bottle opener." That's great. That's a great answer. I always go when it comes to lightsabers, and this is Jonathan, why I really appreciate what you're talking about people's personalities and interests and into the hilt. I'm boring. I'm not loud, but I'm steady and I'm at your side. And I always go for, even when I think like, and this is like even playing Fallen Order, I'd go to those little tables where you can change your lightsaber in game. And I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to keep the one I have. I'll change maybe a sticker on it. And maybe I'd change the color of the blade. Right. You know, like, I do that a lot. I do that a lot of like, oh, let me add some a disco ball to the end of my lightsaber. Nah, I'm just going to keep it steady. And I would probably go with that. I always love the little saucer emitter, like you say. I do love the classic Luke lightsaber, the green one. I like the Skywalker, the Hero's Blade, the one that ends up with Rey. But like, even in Last Jedi, watching the flashback scenes with Luke and having him look down, I'm like, that blade, sleek and simple. But as far as size wise, I probably like a shorter one. And the reason I say this, in my time that I played baseball, like I always went for a shorter, lighter baseball bat. Some folks, you want a big 35 inch, you know, whatever ounce it is, bat to just club the ball far. One of my favorite all-time players was the late Tony Gwynn of the Padres, you know, great hitter. And he was, lighter, smaller. I want to be able to control it. And I think that's what I would want. I'm not a broadsword fighter. You know, swinging this big, heavy thing. I want to have control, be able to move around. So I do that. As far as like an interest personality, you got me thinking, Joseph, can I possibly open it up, open the bottom of the lightsaber up, out, and out falls a toy lightsaber. A piece of memorabilia to display for the lightsaber I own. Does that work?
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I love that. That's great. Your lightsaber comes with its action figure version. Perfect.
Yeah. Because I couldn't display the one I'm using, but I love displaying all the toys. So that would be my answer. And guess what? As a special treat, because Jonathan did address this to Jennifer as well, we reached out and we got Jennifer's description of what kind of lightsaber she would have. So here we go.
My lightsaber would only have a single blade. The crossguard and double-bladed staff really seem too dangerous for my liking, and I think I'd definitely get hurt. The color of my lightsaber would be opalescent and have almost like a glittery effect. I would love for the hilt to be gold. I love gold, but not as flashy as a yellow gold, maybe more of an antique gold. I think that would make it look like an elegant weapon for a more civilized age. I recently had a lightsaber battle with my 4-year-old daughter, and I discovered that lightsabers can be really tough to hold if you're up against a strong opponent. So I would like for my lightsaber to have a comfort grip, like those gel pens. I think that the grip would help me hang on to the lightsaber because it was really uncomfortable holding on to the hilt while my daughter was attacking me. I need all the help I can get.
So that's beautiful. Thank you for Jen for very late last night answering my email and putting her answer down into words. This gel grip is now what I want on all my lightsabers.
Absolutely. An elegant, practical weapon for a realistic parent. That's what the Jedi truly, truly need.
Because again, I'm thinking, you know, size, you know, these big, heavy blades or something like that, that could be a problem. Like Kylo's might be a little bit too big if in my style of fighting. So, yeah, and I want comfort. This is Jennifer just touched on something that is genius, and I love it. And the antique gold. Like, I've never heard antique gold described in the building of a lightsaber, so I like that, too.
Oh, no, yeah, and that's beautiful because I got a little, I think, antique gold on the one that I built at Old Galaxy's Edge there. So, yeah, that'd be great. Man. Jennifer knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, and you know what, Jonathan? You knocked it out of the park with a great question, but so did Bob, and so did some Moof Milker and Nathan as well. Great questions, and this is why we're excited to maybe take a little bit more time with the questions here on Force Center on the main show, part one, whatever we end up titling it right now. We're working on that, but we appreciate it. So, Joseph, any final thoughts today?
No, I think we have shared many a thought, and I'll save the rest for later this week.
Yeah, later this week, we will be looking at Rey in the Cave. It's our Force Center scene by scene as voted on by our Patreon supporters. And we're going to be diving into The Last Jedi and Rey taking a trip to the dark side cave in Mir, and what that all means then and now and for the story overall. So we're almost out of here. If you want to follow us and join the conversation, you can do so on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We are on Facebook at Force Center Podcast, Instagram as well. Podcasts available a lot of different spots. Just search for it. But you can also find it on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. TeePublic is where you can get our merch, teepublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Pick up that Happy Beeps shirt Jen has designed by Janine Bryce at, from G9 Design. Check it out there. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us. We are always updating, making plans, revising things. And because of you, we got new music for Star Wars Ranked from the great Tony Thaxton. We're almost out of here, but Joseph, where can they follow you and all your life's adventures?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my podcast, Obsessed. You can find that by going to any podcast hosty place and searching for Obsessed with Joseph Scrimshaw, or you can find it on my website as well as comedy albums and stuff at josephscrimshaw.com. Yeah, we're recently on Obsessed. I know we've got a little bit of crossover here for Center with Schmodown. Week ago, I did an episode all about Star Wars trivia, so that might be of interest to you on that episode of Obsessed.
Check it out. I highly recommend you check out the Joseph's other work. It's great. Man, a lot of you supporters come here for Star Wars, but and some of you branch out and follow us down other paths, and it means a lot to us. And for me, you can go to kennapsack.com and see all the things I'm working on, all the things I support, and my baseball podcast coming soon. Wasn't the right time to launch it. And then also in the baseball world, not quite the right time to launch it as a workout. Just felt really weird on a lot of levels for me to my original June 1st launch date would have been just wouldn't have been good. So Box Score Heroes is on the way, though, and you can follow that as well on Anchor. So check it on all out at kennapsack.com. That is a look at the news and your questions. Can't wait to discuss Rey in the Cave with you later this week, Joseph. To all of you out there, thanks for listening. This was Force Center. Was Force Center. so all I'll right. just go back and...
He did it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.